Hey, Bat Therapy.
Hey, Baddies.
What's up, Baddies? We've been naughty, naughty girls.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
We've been a nasty girl, We've been a nasty girl.
To be fair, I've been working like a fucking dog, okay? The last 2 weeks, I've been traveling. I haven't been home. I haven't even seen Madison. I barely talked to Madison.
Which is so weird. Like, we talk, we're the type of friends that text every day, like, have some sort of communication.
Yeah, every day.
Haven't talked to her in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We have genuinely tried. Like, we made a commitment when we started. We were not going to, like, skip or be flaky or be inconsistent. But sometimes life gets in the way a little bit. And that does not mean that we're faltering in any way. We apologize for the two-week hiatus. But we're back better than fucking ever, bitches.
Feeling rejuvenated.
It is. It was a nice little break. Yeah. Like, we got a little...
Even princesses need breaks. Cheers to episode 32.
So we're very sorry if any of you were looking forward to the episodes.
Yeah, we really truly apologize. It won't happen again.
2 weeks was violent.
It was crazy. Like, it just had happened out of nowhere. We were actually supposed to film 2 weeks ago, and Madison got a migraine, and we had some really big announcements to make on that pod.
I was so excited. Yeah. It was the day after my engagement.
Yes.
Speaking of, I got fucking engaged, baddies. Let's go. We have been talking about how wonderful my man is for 32 episodes, mm-hmm. and I knew we were going to get engaged, but, like, I didn't know I was going to get engaged like that.
Yep. I was there. I took the photos.
And so... We had this engagement. We, like, you were there.
Well, I was.
Me, Allie, and my fiance.
They're my mom and dad.
And
honestly,
I was so excited to film the next day. Like, I even glued on these fake nails, which I did again. And we were so excited. And then I was getting ready to come over, and boom. Aura, bad. I get migraines, and, you know, the world works in mysterious ways. And then Allie was gone for 2 weeks straight, basically. We were going to film two episodes that night. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen. Here we are 2 weeks later, still excited about the engagement, still with tons of exciting announcements, just a little bit delayed.
Yeah, so again, we apologize, it won't happen again, and we're happy to be back. It was a nice little break. Like, I feel like with anything, when you do, like, we love podcasting, but sometimes with how busy we are in our day-to-day life, especially, I don't know about y'all, but me, I needed a break. So I feel like things happen for a reason, and I feel like this little break was necessary. It was good for the soul. Don't worry, it's not like I was getting a break in any other aspect of my life, but I got a break over here, and I appreciate everyone listening for giving us grace and time to be human.
You get burnt out. Like, this isn't our full-time job. We don't get paid. I mean, we do get paid for this, like, barely, but we don't get, this doesn't pay our bills. This is, we do this because we want to, because we want to show up, because we love this.
And it sucks because, like, obviously, if this was something that we could use to pay our bills, we would be here. We would put so much more effort into planning and filming and everything, and we would love to do that. But unfortunately, it's just one of those things. It's like a passion project where we're passionate about it. We love it. And we're going to put our heart and soul into it. But there's only so much left in the tank by the time we get to film some nights.
And we intend to get to a place where this is our full-time job and this is what supports us. And at that point, obviously, things will be a little bit different. But until then, thank you for supporting us in the meantime.
Bearing with us.
Thank you for bearing with us.
So I know we got a lot of heartbroken bitches on this podcast that I've probably attracted with all of my sob stories and attachment therapy, but I'm gonna hand the talking pillow over to our dear friend Mad.
The talking person
is gonna be Madison, and go off about your engagement, queen.
I mean, I will be brief. Just kidding, no the fuck I won't. I obviously have been so happy and so content in my relationship and so ready to be with this person that it didn't really come as, like, a big surprise to me. Maybe that's because I partially bullied him into it.
Oh my God. I was, let me just butt in really quickly. I was helping him plan this surprise engagement. And can I just say, I never want to have to surprise her with anything ever again. It actually was the most difficult thing I've ever dealt with. He didn't want to tell me or, like, clue me in on anything because he thought I was going to just fucking flat out tell her, which I would never do. But at the same time, it's so hard to lie to her because she's so persistent. Like, she has an inkling and she beats it out of you. Like, yeah. She will not, like, I kept telling her, I was like, Madison, just sit there.
Shut up
and look pretty. Like, just shut up and look pretty. Why do you need to pry? Like,
ask so many fucking questions.
Because It's like, do you really want to ruin it?
And here's the thing. I didn't, obviously, no girl wants to ruin their own engagement. I genuinely did not think it was going to happen this soon. Like, I knew it was going to happen probably this year, maybe early next year, but I didn't think it was going to happen now.
You were the worst with your questions.
I'm like a little bit of a bully when it comes to, like, getting information.
Like, it was so bad. I was like, in my mind, I'm like, if I have an inkling that my proposal is coming, I'm going to shut the fuck up and let it happen.
See, the problem is I don't have a shut the fuck up button. I don't have an off button.
I literally, like, I went through great lengths because he then wanted to do, like, a surprise engagement party after he proposed, and he texted me frantically because Madison tried to book, like, a job that night. And he's like, I don't know how to get her out of this without giving it away. Will you please help me? So I basically texted her and I was like, we're filming.
You can't go.
Tell them you're not going to be there. And she was being all sassy. And so I was like, Madison, just trust me and cancel it. And apparently that gave it away because she was asking her friends. Like, she got in the car with me. She's like, what's going on Sunday? And I was like, oh my fucking God.
Just shut the fuck up.
Just trust me.
Because genuinely, now, obviously, I don't want to ruin my engagement. I didn't know that it was happening or I wouldn't have questioned it that hard. Obviously, I didn't want to ruin my engagement. And I didn't. It was still, like, a great surprise to me. So to tell the story, he had texted me earlier in the week, like, a screenshot. And it turned out it was from one of my other friends, but he, like, changed the name out so that it was his boss's name. And it was like, hey, we booked this horse riding trail. We have to go out of town to sign contracts. It's non-refundable. Do you and Madison want to go? So I saw that and I was like, oh, sick. Like, his bosses are kind of affluent. I'm sure it was going to be, like, a really nice trail riding scene. I love horses. He knows that. I did not think anything of it at the time. We go shopping. Like, Sunday morning comes around. He takes me to brunch. I mean, he always takes me to brunch, right? Like, he always treats me well. So nothing was, like, green.
Out of the ordinary.
Like, yeah, it wasn't like, oh, this is happening today. We went shopping. We got these matching pants. We always were matching outfits. That sounds so fucking lame, but, like, everyone's like,
it is lame, but it's true.
Weren't the matching outfits a dead giveaway? I'm like, no.
No, because Madison planned that one.
I literally forced him to match me.
Yeah.
People are like, why is he marrying you? I don't force him. We like to, like, match. It's cute. It's aesthetic. Whatever. So we went on this horse riding trail and I had slight suspicions, but they were not, like, enough that I actually thought it was going to happen. Like, I didn't have my nails done. I didn't even do my hair. It was, like, a little overcast. I had a little mascara on, nothing crazy. The tour guide on the trail was talking to me. We were talking about beavers. Like, she was really good at distracting me. Like, I genuinely did not think it was going to happen. She was like, you guys are so cute in your matching outfits. Like, can we take a picture for our website? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Still, obviously had earlier in the week thought maybe, but, like, it wasn't top of my mind that day. I thought maybe he would tell me to get my nails done, or, like, I even asked him that morning. I was like, should I, like, put makeup on? He was like, no, don't worry about it. Like, we're just going on horses. He was going to commit to having me not wear makeup in my fucking engagement photos to die with the lie.
Yeah, because you made it so fucking difficult. Like, maybe had you just let up a little bit, we would have had your nails done.
Yeah,
we would have had your makeup done.
There was no chance.
It's okay. It ended up perfect.
So we get down to take pictures and I have this beautiful white horse. He is this beautiful paint black and white horse. His horse was, like, huge. Mine was, like, kind of small. It was so perfect. The photos are so aesthetic. Maybe we'll put one up. I don't know. And he gets down on one knee and I was like, are you fucking serious? That was the first thing I said. She's, like, taking a video and I was like, are you dead fucking serious right now? I'm, like, cussing the whole time. Like, are you fucking serious? He's like, Madison, shut up. Like,
yeah.
And just said that there was nobody else he would ever want to spend his life with and he would be honored to be my husband.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay.
I was crying when it happened, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you look a little teary-eyed right now.
I am just so happy. Yeah, like, it was beautiful. Just so authentic. Yeah. Like, I thought I wanted some big, grandiose, you know, big screen proposal, like, on the fucking
I asked her, just to butt into this beautiful story, because I was trying to help him out, like, what she would want. So one night I was asking her, like, what do you think you would want for your engagement? She's like, well, I'm thinking the Morgan Wallen concert. Morgan Wallen pulls me up on stage. Carson,
so fucking dumb.
Like, drops from the sky, proposes, the whole crowd sings to me. I'm like, okay.
He picks me up, we fly off into the universe.
Like, she was dead serious. And I was like, okay, what's option number two?
Another option that I, like, had kind of had in my head, which most
the Steelers game.
Most of you are probably going to cringe at this, but, like, he's an Eagles fan, I'm a Steelers fan. So we were going to go to the Steagles game. That's the Steelers playing the Eagles.
I think we got it. They understood.
And the Jumbotron, the screen, you know, it was going to come on me and I was gonna be like, woo, go Steelers.
He was gonna
flash my tits. I don't know.
He was gonna come on you?
At the Steagles game on the Jumbotron, he gets down on one knee. I crowd surf. I throw the, you know, touchdown to win the game.
You throw the touchdown?
Yes, it's me. I'm the new quarterback. Like, very dramatic.
Yeah.
So that's really why I didn't expect it, but it was honestly perfect. Like,
yeah, it was really beautiful.
Out in nature, just us, or so I thought. So he proposes, and then like 100 yards away, five of my favorite people in the whole world pop out of the bushes and scream, congratulations!
I think there was only four of us.
Oh, I guess it was with the tour guide. Yeah, she wasn't my favorite person. Yeah. Four of my favorite people in the whole world pop out of the bushes like 100 yards away and scream, congratulations! Mm-hmm. And that's like genuinely
when you were like
pure shock.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're trying to process it all. Like, that's the thing about an engagement is like you spend your whole life
thinking about
this moment, right? And then it happens, and it happens so fast. And then it's like over. Yeah. That part was kind of crazy to me. Like, it's done.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're engaged. Yeah.
And then they ride down on their own horses. It was the craziest thing. It was like a fever dream. I looked at him.
We each had our own fucking horse.
I looked at him and I was like, do they have horses? And so
we hiked there.
He booked it, had gone out there previously with Ali, made sure the spot was right, got them all their own horses, flew one of my other closest friends from across the country, my sister, another one of my closest friends from San Diego. It was just like so surreal.
Yeah.
And then we go back. I'm like just kind of in shock still, honestly.
Yeah.
And we go to this restaurant and we go to the back patio and 50 people, surprise!
Yeah.
All of our friends.
I don't know. I'm not like an emotional person. I cried like four times that day.
I mean, it was like you couldn't have imagined.
It was just so beautiful. And like, I could just see how happy she was. And I was just so happy for them. And like, I don't know. It just was like, it's something like, again, that you think of watching your best friend get engaged or find the person that they're going to be with forever. And it is really just very beautiful when it all comes together.
I mean, like thinking about how it all actually came together and how much effort and time he put into it. And like the surprise party for me really was what blew me away. Like him planning a party without me, scary.
Yeah, he did good.
And him going, his family came in from out of town. Everyone that was important to us that could be there was there.
Yeah.
And it was just such a cool moment. So surreal. And like thinking about it afterwards, I was like, holy shit. Like I said, you spend all this time thinking about this moment and then it happens and then it's like, you don't really know how to feel afterwards.
Yeah,
and
you're just trying to like soak it all in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just feel so blessed and lucky, not just because of him, but because of all the people I have in my life too. I mean, I cried. I'm not a crier either.
Yeah.
I cried when he proposed. I cried at the engagement party. Like there's just so much love.
Yeah.
And like Ali showed up and she took these wonderful photos. Like
I was so scared. He asked me if I would take pictures for their engagement and like, I sometimes feel like I get myself into these situations where like people think I have this skill set to do like certain things. And I'm not going to say no because I'll do it for my best friend. But the whole time I'm thinking, I really fucking hope that he's not hoping these are going to be like the most magnificent
expecting
photos.
Expecting some professional photography. Yeah.
But then looking back at them at the end of the night, they actually turned out so cute. They were so like in the moment and raw. And
I mean, it legitimately looks like we hired a photographer. The pictures are, I could not have imagined. Yeah. I think it honestly really made the whole moment come together because
it's getting to look back at it. Cause you're like, I think what's cool about photos and like, you know, you can hate on photos or whatever, but sometimes when the day is going by so quickly and moments are happening and like you said, like it's just there and then it's gone. Having something to recount the moments is so special, especially in like a high def.
Absolutely. Cause it all happened so fast and it was a Sunday, right?
Yeah.
And the next day is Monday.
Yeah.
We're like back at work. And I was like,
no, I'm,
I just like kept
the
looking
queen
down.
Of England.
Like I looked down and be like,
yeah,
what's that? Like,
yeah.
It just happens so fucking fast. But like having those pictures, having those memories to look back on and to think about, like my best advice for if God forbid a guy is watching this, like take your time with the proposal, do something that will be sentimental, do something that holds a memory.
You don't have to spend a ton of money.
No, not
just
at all.
Just make it special. Something that's memorable, something that spend some time with her before, you know, like get into like feeling close with her before it happens. Get her closest friends or family or whatever matters to her. Let that be there because yes, it's about you two, but it makes it so much more special when those moments can be shared with like the people that love them most, that they love the most too.
Having the people in your life that are important to you be a part of moments like that, like it makes those moments.
Yeah.
Like he could have proposed alone in our bedroom and like I still would have been so happy and said yes, but like
it's like the people that have been there your whole life and you know, that have been also along this journey with you. I just feel like for me, I would want that too. Like, yes, it's about you and I, but this is you and I. Like, this is our life now. Like, this is, these are our friends. These are our family. Like, this is our life.
Well, and that's how I know he really knows me.
Yeah.
Because as much as I thought I wanted some big screen hocus pocus, like I do, like I like, you know, attention. That sounds terrible, but like, that's not really what I wanted. That's just what you see in the movies. So that's what you think you want. He knew that I would want to be around the people that I love and the people that mean the most to me.
Yeah.
And him. And for them to be a part of that moment in our lives. And that's how I know, like, genuinely, he is the fucking one. Like, without, beyond a shred of a doubt.
Yeah.
He didn't do it just because he thought it was something I would want. He did it because he knew it's what I would want.
Yeah. Briefly, I had to grab a blanket. Sorry. It's really cold in this house.
So thank you so much for everything you did for me and everything you did to help set that up and the photography you took. It was the most special moment.
Aww.
And I am just such a blessed, happy, lucky little girl.
You are very blessed and very happy and very lucky, but very deserving.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, like it's exactly how I had imagined you're happy ever after. And I'm happy that I was allowed to be a part of it because I just feel like, like it sounds silly, but being able to, I don't know, like I just feel like you're so special to me that selfishly I want to be involved in like all of your special moments because.
Of course, yeah.
Because that's like you will be a part of my life forever. And I want to be there, even if I'm like just hiding behind a bush somewhere, like not like involved. Like I just like want to see you happy and want to see Carson too, like that situation. It was just special because I don't know, it's just, it's a cool thing that I was able to be a part of it and like watch it all unfold.
Well, and it's like your biggest fear to think about your best friend or someone who's the closest to you being with someone who's not good,
yeah,
or like wouldn't allow you to be a part of those things. Like I've always had that fear with the people in my life, like what if they marry some piece of shit,
yeah,
who like you don't want to be around or don't even get involved with the engagement. Like, you know, men like that, they'll cut you out of their life.
Yeah,
I've always had that fear. And I'm just so fucking glad, obviously, after going through it, like that's not how it ended up.
Yeah.
And to all the fucking trolls, all the male trolls on the internet, you have no idea how many comments we get like daily. Don't listen to single women over 30. Okay, I'm not 30 and I'm not single. So.
And I'm not 30, but I am single. So holla at you, girl.
But someone did ask me, and this is a good segue topic, is how do you know when you know? Did you just know it was the person? Or like, why are you choosing to marry that person? What is your opinion on if you know, you know?
What is my opinion?
Yeah. No, the person behind you.
Well, I thought like someone was asking you that and you were going to answer it.
I am going to answer, but I was going to let you answer first.
Well, I do believe that when you know, because I believe that although I haven't found it, I believe that you know when you don't know, or I believe you know when it's not right.
You definitely know when you don't know.
And I'm in this situation right now, so when am I not? But I'm speaking to myself and to anyone else listening. Like, the reason that I believe when you know is because you know when something's not right, and you know when something doesn't make you happy, you know when you're fighting for something that isn't equally fighting for you. Like, you just know, no matter what type of breadcrumbing or what type of like half-ass effort someone gives you to kind of like string you along, or even full effort, like even if they're giving their whole ass to you and it still doesn't feel like enough, we make excuses for ourselves to fit into puzzle pieces that aren't made for us because we want to be happy in a relationship. We want a relationship to work, but there's always that underlying feeling of I'm not happy or this isn't working. And I feel like we just become comfortable, or we try to find comfort in the discomfort instead of being like, there's something better out there for us, better suited for us. So when I hear people say, oh, I met this person and within 2 weeks, I just knew they were the one, or maybe 2 weeks is a little bit crazy, but like when people,
people know within 2 days, 2 minutes.
Yeah. Or like with your situation, like you didn't, but when you finally did, like there was no, just because you didn't know immediately, it wasn't because there was anything negative. It was just you figuring out yourself. So like, I do believe that when you know, you know. And I think that that's something that we should remember as the rest of us single folk date, is like, just because you meet someone and it's not an immediate like, oh, this is the person I'm gonna marry,
yeah,
that's okay. It doesn't need to be like that, because that might grow over time like it did for Madison and Carson. But as you're dating somebody, if there are so many signs, and
red flags,
I won't say like not even necessarily red flags, like maybe they're a beige flag, but it's not something that's a green flag for you because it's not something that you're looking for, don't make excuses for it, because you know when you know. Like, you know when you know, and you know when you don't know.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, my partner said that for me, he knew right away. Like, he saw me from across the gym and he, like, just felt something different about me. He asked about me right away. He followed me on Instagram right away. Like, he couldn't stop thinking about me right away. He thought that I was in another relationship at the time because that's what someone had told him. Someone was like, yeah, she has a boyfriend, which I didn't. So I don't know why the fuck they said that. But he said for him, it was different. And when we got together, I knew something was different about him. But I was fighting so many internal battles that I couldn't really let myself feel or see those things. But there was never anything that was wrong or off or red flags about him. It was me fighting the internal struggle of like, am I ready for this level of commitment? Whereas for him, he was like, it was you right away. And when I finally like let down those walls and stopped testing him, because that's what I did. I tested him over and over and over to see, are you going to leave? Are you going to be rude? Are you going to be abusive? Like, show me how you're going to fail me, because that's what I was used to. And he didn't. When I really trusted him and trusted that he was never going to hurt me or leave, everything just like locked into place. Yeah. And like, I knew it was right the whole time.
Well, here's the thing I'll say about what Carson felt with you is like, I recently had that type of experience with the person that I'm currently like kind of in this weird, I don't know, on and off. It's not bad, but it's not great relationship with. I saw him and I was like, it was the way I felt when I saw him wasn't like, oh, I think he's hot. Like, it wasn't even like an attraction thing. It was almost like I felt it in my
connection
soul. Yeah. It was so weird. And I left thinking about him. I remember the first time we made eye contact, I thought about this man the whole way home. Didn't even know his fucking name. Didn't think he knew who I was. I was like, this is so fucking weird. And it just kind of like progressed from that. And I remember feeling like I've never felt that way based on just like a glance at somebody It wasn't like I thought that they were the most attractive person in the world. It was just like, I thought they were attractive, but it was like deeper than that. It was so hard to explain, which is funny that you say that you were the one that was like damaged and had like things to work on. And like, I kind of feel like I'm in the reverse situation. Not that he's my Carson by any means, but just to compare the situations, like I feel like there's so much that he's going through where I feel like I'm constantly being tested to like, am I going to fail him? Can he trust me? All of these things that he has like major fears over that tend to be like reasons why he pulls back, which have really nothing to do with me because like I haven't done anything.
Exactly.
I don't know, but I do believe in that. But it is weird because I had never experienced that before. And it would be a great love story to say like, oh yeah, I felt that way. And then, you know, now we're in love. And no, that didn't go.
I mean, there are soul connections and soul bonds that you have with people and it doesn't always work out, right? Yeah. Like, well, just because you feel that way doesn't necessarily mean it's the person.
I also weirdly feel like and this is going to sound strange to anybody that doesn't understand, but I am such a spiritually connected person. Like, I'm very connected to other people that don't even know me. Like, I'm sensitive on the inside, but I'm sensitive to energies and just the things that make up the world. I don't know how to explain it. And I do feel like that is one of the reasons why I connect on certain levels with people. So the ability to connect with somebody before you've even spoken to them is something that's like a blessing, but a curse, because you feel closer. It almost gives you like a false sense of closeness with somebody that you actually don't know.
And it maybe not is actually who they are, but something that you sense on a different level.
Well, it's like, it's there, but it's not maybe how they act or how they
present themselves.
Yeah. Like, it's maybe to their core. Cause like, I don't think energy lies. Like, absolutely, they're a good person, but it's not, you can't control free will on how someone's going to act.
I mean, I believe that soulmates exist. I 100% do. Cause I have my soulmate, but I also believe that if relationships are going to work, you have to choose for them to work.
Yeah, 100%.
You have to choose. It doesn't matter if it's your twin flame, soulmate, whatever the fuck you want to call it. If you don't choose to make that relationship work every single day, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter who the person is. Like, you have to make sacrifices. You have to change your way of thinking around, you're going to look at someone one day and that's just their soulmate and it's going to lock into place and that's it forever. Because that doesn't exist.
You choose the person that you want to spend your life with, 100%.
And you know, there are bonds that you have with people that maybe they are not the person that you should spend your life with.
Yeah.
Like, the person you decide to spend your life with should have matching morals and matching values, the things that are going to create a happy life, not just, holy shit, I feel another like worldly connection to this person. Very,
so much chemistry and this and that.
And I saw something that said, ask a man if he believes in soulmates. If he says no, he is not with the person he's going to spend the rest of his life with. If he says yes, he is with the person he's going to spend the rest of his life with. Because if a man believes in soulmates, it's because he's with the woman he's going to dedicate his life to and choose to be with. If he says no, it's because he's making excuses not to.
That's actually bars, and I'm going to use that.
Bars.
I'm like, do you believe in soulmates? No, they're literally. Like, no. I'm like, get out!
You know, it's so funny. When I first met my partner, like before we were even dating, in casual conversation, we were talking about soulmates, and he was like, yeah, maybe. But now when I asked him, because I did this, I heard this and I saw this, and I was like, I'm going to fucking ask this motherfucker. We're engaged. I was like, do you believe in soulmates? He was like, absolutely.
You're my soulmate.
As soon as I met you. And like, that's it. If a man is fighting against the idea of another worldly connection or the effort that it takes to be in a relationship like that, he doesn't want to be with you that badly. Yeah. On the topic of wives and husbands, did you know that 80% of adultery is committed with coworkers? So 80% of people that cheat on their spouses are cheating with people that they've met in the office.
That actually makes so much sense to me, because when you work a 9-to-5, let's say, you spend more time at your office than you do out meeting new people. Like sometimes I'm like, how am I going to meet new people? Because I'm always working. But then when you're working with the same people over and over and over again, it's the same thing as like comfortability forms bonds, and bonds kind of emulate connection.
I mean, you spend more time with the people that you work with. This is traditionally 9-to-5 in an office type job. You spend more time with those people than anyone, even your fucking spouse.
Yeah.
You're with them 8 hours a day, at least 5 days a week for as many years as you work at that company.
Not only that, but I think like, especially for men, one of the things that makes a man fall for a woman is solving problems. Like yeah. Men like to solve problems. So when you're in an environment where you're having to basically fight fires every day at work, or find solutions for this or create projects for that, and you're working together to come up with a solution for something, it kind of triggers this false sense of security between you and that person. Like, oh, trust and connection and like all of the things that specifically men need to fall in love. Like men fall in love through a hormone called vasopressin. And vasopressin is released when they are solving problems. So when you're working with someone and you're solving problems together, they're going to look to you when they need something, or look to you for basically like a shoulder to lean on. And on top of all of that, you're their work wife. So you're not going through the depths of despair with them if something bad is happening at home, or if there's a fight. Like you're there from 9-to-5 dealing with like the day-to-day shit, and then like if there's a problem at home, then they get to go to work and you're not the problem because you're there to solve their problems.
Well, exactly. And that's the most fucked up thing about like work wives and work husbands, is like you have this flirty, laughy little bond at work, mm-hmm. but there is no actual trauma or relationship skills or anything that goes into that. Yeah. And so men and women find like a false sense of connection or relationship that comes out of that. They think, oh my God, me and this person, we never fight. We never argue. We just have such a bond. You're not living a real life together.
Yeah, 100%. It's so much more fun to just be flirty and lighthearted and like, again, solve problems and work together like as a team with somebody than to go home and have to deal with real life shit. When you're with your work wife or your work husband, you're not dealing with any real life shit. Like you're not talking about, oh, my grandma's sick, oh, my mom did this, or oh, my brother owes me this money,
or the kids are misbehaving, yeah. or the house is a fucking yeah. mess, or the bills aren't paid. Yep. Like there's so much more.
It's also like a place that they get to go to escape from their reality, which then again, although their work wife or their work husband didn't actually do anything to solve their problem or make them feel better, because they feel like it's an escape, they feel happier in that moment, which is so crazy and deluded, but it is almost like this crazy delusion that people get stuck in, because you are with them every day. So you think, I spend more time with this person and I've never had this issue
with
them.
And she never nags me and there's yeah. never any problems. Like it must be my wife or my husband. It's yeah. not them.
Yeah.
And that's the fucked up part about it, is it's not real. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, it's a delusion. It's yeah. an illusion. Mm-hmm. But because you're with that person so much, you think that that's actually what the relationship like what is going like. To be. Yeah.
And then, you know, fast forward, you leave your wife and you're with this girl that you work with, and it's not all rainbows and butterflies like you thought it was going to be. And then you're single and you have to leave your job and you're divorced, and it's just a whole fucking nightmare.
Like I said, you choose the person that you're going to be with. You choose how you treat that person every day. You choose how your relationship is going to be.
I would also like to add that somebody that is going to cheat on you with someone that they work with, like I'm not here making excuses for why it happens or like saying that it's okay. It's not. Someone that's a good person and a good partner, you wouldn't have to worry
They're
about
that. They're not
going
to have a fucking work wife.
They're never even going to look at their female or male coworker and think anything other than you're a really great partner as a teammate. They're not going to think, oh, you're my escape from reality.
From my real wife.
From my real wife. Like, because they're really, because they're actually going to cherish the relationship that they have with their partner. And like, we're not sitting here making excuses. We're just talking about the fact that it does happen and why it happens. And it's pretty fucked up. I think like, if you're with somebody that has cheated on you with a coworker or has a work wife, or like you feel like your husband or your wife is weirdly close with someone,
has someone at work that they're like, yeah, it's,
I think that you should truly take a second and evaluate what your relationship has to offer you. Because is that person really somebody that deserves you? Or is that just somebody that you've been with that you love? Because like I said, somebody that's a good person that deserves your love would never, you would never have to question that that's even a concern.
When I first heard that term, I was so disgusted that that's like actually a thing. And I heard it from a guy who was like an acquaintance of mine who was saying it like in a realistic setting. Like he was actually saying his work wife. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, why is that even an appropriate or an acceptable?
If I ever heard my man say my work wife, I would be single.
And that is the point of this for the girlies out there. If your husband has ever mentioned, or if you're a girl and you're somebody's work wife, or if you're a guy and you're somebody's work husband and you think that's like cute.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, it's just,
it's not real. You're not real. Go find your own fucking husband or wife. Like, it's not.
I hate, one thing that I hate more than literally anything is a home wrecker. I just think home wrecking is so classless. It's like, I don't know. I know people have their reasons and like, it's not your relationship. So why should you care? You don't owe them anything, whatever. At the end of the day, it comes down to the type of morals that a person has and the type of values and the type of self-respect and respect that someone has for someone else. Like, something that I think is so attractive in a human being is somebody that cares for other people, regardless of whether they're intertwined with them or have a relationship with them. Like, just somebody that has empathy and sympathy and like consideration for others. Like, I feel like it's hard to find nowadays, and I do feel like it's a quality that should be praised more often. But then I feel like people like that get shit on a lot, so like they turn sour, they turn cold. Regardless, I think I've always been a type of person that's very soft and caring and whatever, and it's always gotten me into sticky situations because I always get fucked over or feel like I was taken advantage of or not appreciated. But I will never stop feeling like that is my superpower, is being soft and caring and kind and like overly empathetic to a degree, because it's hard to find. And like, I know that softness can sometimes be perceived as weakness, but I think that it's actually strength, because it's really easy to put up a facade or a really tough exterior to portray yourself as someone that's super hardcore or like doesn't get their feelings hurt or doesn't care or fuck this, fuck that. That's weakness, because if you can't face your emotions or face the things that you've done or the things, you know, that matter, then you're a coward, quite frankly.
And coming from someone who was like that for a long time, like didn't feel like having emotions was a powerful thing and blocked everything out, and I wasn't like a bad person, I didn't like
intrude
on
them. No, but you were very like, you thought having emotion was weakness.
And realizing with my relationship now, and that's why the first 3 months were so rocky for me, was because like realizing that that wasn't real, that wasn't who I really was, and that wasn't going to get me what I really wanted.
Yeah,
you're so right. Being emotional and being empathetic, it is a superpower. Mm-hmm. And for people who are homewreckers, all I can say is that if you're a homewrecker and the person that you're homewrecking with is allowing that, and you're both comfortable with the decisions that you're making, you fucking deserve each other.
Yeah, you should just be together.
If you're a homewrecker and you think that you're gonna go get something better, some relationship, this thing that you've been looking for, this man.
I actually personally think that anyone that homewrecks or anyone that cheats or anyone that like goes off into an adulterous relationship when they're happy in a relationship, whether it's with your work wife, your work husband, or just anyone in general, I think that those two people should be forced to date each other.
To be together.
Because, oh my God, what a miserable existence that would be. Like, the trust immediately gone. Like, talk about starting a relationship with zero trust.
On the wrong fucking foot.
Yeah.
And if you think those relationships are ever going to turn out to be what you want or what you desire in your head, a person who's going to treat you right, you're fucking wrong.
And even in situations where I feel like this does happen, where it's like, oh, he left me for the girl he cheated on me with and now they're married. Kids. Let me just tell you, pillow talk, non-existent. Does that man get to go out with his friends? Absolutely not. And if he is, all she's doing is is blowing him up thinking, oh, you're cheating on me because that's how I got you in the first place, or vice versa.
It's not a healthy start to a relationship. It's not a healthy mindset, and it's not healthy morals. People that go into those relationships don't have the morals and the values that create a relationship that can be long lasting.
Even coming from somebody who has dated somebody who was like quote unquote the homewrecker of a situation, like started seeing somebody who was involved in another relationship, I had a hard time trusting him, even though technically he wasn't the one that cheated. He wasn't the one that this, he wasn't the one that that.
He was the homewrecker.
But it was like, he knew what was happening and he didn't care. Obviously his excuses was like, well, I didn't know the guy. I was being told this, I was being told that. It's like, at the end of the day, that shouldn't matter because you should still have some moral standing with how you want to treat another human. And does that make me feel good about you and your moral compass? No. Does it make me trust you? No.
And that all comes back to, just because you have a connection with someone doesn't mean that that's the person that you should or are destined to be with. Because all of these adulterous situations happen because two people have a connection, right?
Because of lust.
Oh, maybe this lustful, exactly, lustful connection means that we're supposed to be together. But like I said earlier, it all comes down to who you choose to be with.
Also, I feel like lust is something that we choose to fall into. Like, isn't lust like one of the seven deadly sins or something like that?
Something like that, crazy? Yeah.
But it's true. It's like, you know when you're feeling lust. And like, if you're in a relationship or that person's in a relationship and you start feeling like a little flame flickering between the two of you, just fucking run away. Walk away from that shit, because all it's going to do is either tear apart two people's lives, put some bad karma on your shoulders. And by the way, the person that you're supposed to be with, that you should want to be with, shouldn't even glance at you while they're in a relationship. I dated a guy and we dated for a very long time, 4 years, I would say almost. And when we broke up, I truly thought that this person would always care for me more than anybody else because that's the relationship that we had. So when I was out figuring things out, I found out he had a girlfriend. That man would not even look at me.
Not even glance in your direction.
Not even glance in my direction. And that's somebody that like loved me. Like, I knew he still loved me because that stuff doesn't just go away. And that was a very real relationship. But he was so loyal to the girl that he was with. And they're now married or engaged. And I just remember feeling like, although it really hurt me, I was like, at least I know that I didn't spend 4 years with somebody who was like untrustworthy.
Morally and, compromised.
Yeah, who had like a good head on his shoulders that was trustworthy. Like, at least I know that he wasn't out there fucking doing me dirty when we were together.
And that's what it comes down to, understanding that even though those connections exist with other human beings, like we're human beings, we're gonna have fleeting connections with one another. The person that you choose to be with is the person you choose to be with because you love their morals and their values in life you create together. If you're willing to stray from that path because of lust and like fleeting connection, then you don't deserve a person who has the morals and values who would not do that to you.
And I'm speaking out of term here because I'm the type of person that is really bad at letting a fleeting connection be a fleeting connection, because there always has to be something deeper in my mind. But if you really think about like how beautiful it is to have a fleeting connection, and I'm not speaking in like a terms of adultery or cheating, anything negative, but like it's okay to like have a relationship or a connection with somebody and then have its time come and its time go, and just like allowing it to fizzle out on its own without fighting it. Like, I've been known for fighting tooth and nail for a connection that only ever, like, the more you fight for it, the less it wants you and the more pain it causes you. Like, if it's gonna stay, it's gonna stay. So if it starts to fade away, you just have to let it. And I feel like it's harder in the beginning to just allow it to dissipate. But the only thing you're doing by fighting is digging yourself a deeper hole and making it harder for yourself to move on, because there's gonna be another one. How many times, ask yourself this, how many times have you been in a situationship or in a relationship with somebody, you're talking to somebody and you're thinking it's coming to an end and you're like, oh, I'm never gonna find someone again, I'm never gonna fall in love, I'm never gonna like someone again, and then like 3 months later you meet someone,
there they are,
and now yep, you're in the same situation again. It's like, at the very least you can take away from those situations is like, there will be another person, there will come another day where you meet someone else. And I know in a world we like to live in this lack mindset, it's like, because men are shitty, women are shitty, relationships are hard, social media makes it difficult, like life is fast paced nowadays, it's difficult to date nowadays. But holding on to the idea that you will never find somebody, or like the person that things aren't working out with is the end all be all,
the only person for you,
if you don't make make it work, you're going to be so sad forever or so alone because there's no one else. Like, obviously, there's nobody else right now on your radar because you're not a slut and you don't have a roster because that's not how you operate. And that's okay.
Okay, well, having a roster doesn't make you a slut. Let's take it easy.
I've never been somebody that can have a roster just because you don't have men lined up out the door, or women lined up out the door when you get out of a relationship. That makes it really easy to move on. If anything, that means you're a very loyal person and you don't operate in terms of like, let me have you guys lined up just in case this doesn't work out. Like, you're all in or you're all out, and that's a beautiful thing. But just because you don't have somebody right at your beck and call right when something's going wrong or something's ending doesn't mean that you're not gonna stumble upon that at some point. So, and you know, and like, my point with this, and I'll wrap it up, is you know that every single time something bad has ended or something hasn't worked out, something new has come along the way. So just keep with that energy. Like, something else is going to come along, and one of these days it's going to be the right person. So that alone should be enough to let you keep pushing, keep on pushing, letting things die where they're meant to die. I had a guy that I dated one time tell me, no one to hold him, no one to fold him.
For real.
Yeah.
And you really do. I truly believe you choose who you love. You choose who you spend your life with. You get to make that decision. It's not like some otherworldly connection is going to be thrown at you and like, that's the person you're stuck with. Like you said, connections will come and go. Those feelings will come and go. The person that you choose to be with has to be someone who has the morals and values of a life that you want to live, or you don't get to live that life. Like, that's the bottom line. If you choose someone who doesn't work hard, who's not loyal, who's not motivated, who doesn't love you,
then don't be surprised when they're broke and mean,
cheating
and
on you, and you live in a shack. Like, what do you fucking mean?
And you live underneath a bridge. Like, you don't get to complain if that's the man you chose to marry.
Underneath the bridge? Damn. And you know, I heard something once that said, don't marry the man who never wanted to get married, who never wanted to be a husband, but did for you. Marry the man who always wanted to be a husband, always wanted to be a father, always wanted to be a provider. Because the bottom line is, you can't change somebody. If they married you because of you, and that's never really what they wanted, they are never going to be the husband or father or provider that you deserve. Marry a man who wanted to be a husband first, and you will have a very happy and successful life. I fucking promise.
Period.
No. See how I really yangled my ring around when I
did
that?
She said, no.
And that's that on the engagement slash crazy.
What do we call this podcast?
These
the
girls,
engagement slash non-engagement podcast?
I would just like to say, if we seem a little out of pocket tonight, it's because we haven't filmed in 2 weeks.
It's crazy what 2 weeks not filming will really throw a wrench in the works.
We watched like our first podcast. I'm surprised anyone listens to this.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
That was fucking violent.
Yeah.
It's so choppy and like, you don't flow the same way. Like,
we got the hang of it. Like, towards the end, we started to flow a little bit better.
Like, the beginning was like Minion dialect. Fucking
me halfway with a toga.
Anyway, bottom line is, I'm very happy. Allie's very happy. We're all very happy. We're happy to be back.
Happy little clams.
We're happy to be engaged.
Yeah.
We're happy to be alive.
I'm happy to be fucking single. I'm happy my best friend is engaged. I'm happy that I earned, what do I call Carson? What is he? My brother.
Brother-in-law.
I'm happy I gained a brother.
Aww,
and
that's so sweet.
Ew, I hated that. It was sweet. Blarcy.
And here's episode 32. We'll see you next week. We're back on track, baddies. Thanks for tuning in.
Cheers.